The Army returns here in the first week of October. The exact date is unclear, in part because some units marched ahead, and one appears to have gone straight past to Cathy's Ford. The combined armies destroyed 52 villages, including 11 by Rutherford's, out of around 40 in North Carolina and modern Tennessee. They followed a standard tactic: burn every house, cut down or trample the crops, seize or kill livestock, kill any Cherokees that fought back, and move on to the next towns. In some cases, prisoners would be taken and sold as slaves. In other cases, Cherokees were shot and killed, some scalped, and according to one account, a group of women villagers in Burning Town were walled up in a house and burned alive. An official report stated Rutherford destroyed the greater part of the valley towns, killed 12 and took 9 Indians, and imprisoned 7 white men, from whom he got 4 enslaved Negroes, a considerable quantity of stock and deer leather, about 100 weight of gunpowder, and 2,000 of lead. Presumably the white men were Tories and or accused of supplying the Cherokees with weapons. By far the biggest impact was that the bulk of the Cherokee Nation found itself going into autumn and winter in the North Carolina mountains with no homes, livestock, or stored or growing crops. Many of the men on the campaign go on to fight in key battles in North Carolina at various times throughout the war, some on the side of the British. Others, including a few Moravians, try to remain neutral during the Revolution. After the expedition, a company is stationed here at all times during the war, with different men rotating through. 6 years to the month after the Rutherford campaign, continuing Cherokee attacks have driven many area colonists into local forts. Thus unable to farm, lack of food has become a problem. Colonel Joseph McDowell of Pleasant Garden leads another campaign from Davidson's. Few details are known. A veteran says the Army followed the Rutherford route, but continued beyond where Rutherford had turned, at today's Murphy. Though, meeting with no Indian forces of any strength, we destroyed their towns, cut down their cornfields, and with the prisoners we commenced our march home and were dismissed sometime in October 1782. Another vet says 5 Cherokees were killed, and a third recalls burning 2 towns on the Little Tennessee River. Visit the Gateway Museum, if you wish, which features exhibits about mountain life focused on the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Then, for help imagining what the fort looked like, take a short drive to visit the reproduction at the privately owned Davidson Fort Historical Park. The fort is only open for special events, but the outside is visible year-round. It is a best guess at how the original looked, based on original accounts and standard practices of the day. To get there, follow the driving instructions under Reproduction Fort. If you are taking the Cherokee Campaigns tour and want to stay closer to the route taken by Rutherford's army than your mapping app will provide, click Rutherford Trace Route 1 under our picture of the Reproduction Fort. Historical tidbits. A dramatic arrowhead monument to the fort is on Highway 70 at the intersection with Catawba Avenue. It is off by 20 years on the date of the fort's construction. Records suggest Captain Hugh Waddell started a fort in the area in 1756 to protect the Catawbas, allies of the British during the French and Indian War. That was never finished, however. Perhaps 6,000 people attended the monument's 1939 dedication, a county history book says. Included were 20 Catawbas and Cherokees, despite the sculpture wrongly showing one of their ancestors in a Plains tribe headdress. The great-great-granddaughter of the only European-American born at the fort unveiled the monument.